relief to be able to take your burdens and go to the cross, right? Amen. I just on cloud 55 or something. I mean, I don't know. It's just God gets gooder and gooder. I mean, better and better. You know what I mean. He is good, right? Amen. Praise God. Hey, if you brought a Bible, why don't you open it up? Let's go to 1 Kings. Hey, 1 Kings 17, place called there, second part. I wasn't going to do a second part, but I just felt like God had more to say. So we're just going to share a little more on that. If you weren't here this past Sunday, you might want to get the recording. You can go down online and get that, download it for free, I think, right? Is it free? I think it is. Or you can stop by the DVD and bookstore and get a CD or something. But 1 Kings chapter 17 is where I want you to go. But did you know that it only takes a little bit or a little difference in your life to make all the difference in your life? Let me say it again. It only takes a little difference in your life to make all the difference in your life. And I just want to tell you, you already may know this, but you're not an ordinary person. There's nothing ordinary about you. There's nothing average about you. However, circumstances sometimes have a loud voice. People in our lives sometimes have very strong opinions. And you know, I have to testify that there was a time in my life where I actually believed what people said. I thought I was what they said. And I woke up one day and went, well, that's a hoot. I'm not that at all. Jesus made me to be extraordinary. There's nothing ordinary about me. Spend a few minutes with me and you'll find that out. You know, we are extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. But you see, the enemy, through circumstances, through the opinions of others, sometimes our past failures want to keep us here. And God has a there for us. And there is so important to get to, because there God has already orchestrated supernatural things, provision, the promises of God, the providence of God, the protection of God, the power of God. I mean, just think about it with me. If we hang out here, we're never going to experience it. And your need this morning, no matter what it might be, I want you to know it's only evidence of God's waiting supply. He already has what you have need of. I was greeting somebody this morning. They said, Pastor, would you remember to pray for me? I just feel like I need a house. And boy, the Holy Spirit came up on me and I said, honey, you already have a house. All we need to do is pray about the connection to get you there. She said, oh, I like that. I said, I like that too. We were having church right there. And service hadn't even started yet. So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray, connect the dots, Lord. Because the house is waiting. Come on, just gingerly tap somebody and say, God has all your need ready and waiting for you. Come on. It's already there. Amen. It's already there. You know, some of us have been living so sub-zero in our life. I've asked people this all the time in counseling. I'll say, okay, tell me in a scale of 1 to 10, where is your love life with your wife? They'll say, well, you know, guys always hang their head. Well, I said maybe 2 or 3. Boy, the wife's sitting over there going, oh, I'm going to bust you up, man. You know. Or she'll say, 2 or 3? You ain't even at 0. Well, they go, oh, we got a lot of work to do in here. You know, sometimes we are below 0. But it's time for us to get at least to 0. You see, it's time to move up a little bit. And it's time to recognize that life the way it's been is not all there is. And I want you to know, you may have lived 40 years, 60 years, maybe only 16 years, and you think life is like this and it's going to be this way the rest of your life. I've got good news. Things are about to change. But you can't sit around like a bunch of lepers. You know, you have this leper mentality. You know, you say, well, I can't go back and I can't go over there because they don't want me over there and they don't want me over here. So I guess I'll just stay here. And one of them spoke up and said, if we stay here, we're going to die. We can't stay here. Here isn't going to cut it. Here isn't where God wants me to be. Here isn't going to meet my need. Let's go on over there and see if something will change. You know, you've got to get kind of disgusted with the way life has been. You've got to get to the point where you say, you know what? This isn't enough for me. There's got to be more. I'm not listening to what people say anymore about me, and I'm not allowing circumstances to define who I am. It only takes a little difference to make a huge difference, and I'm about to believe God today. And that's what Elijah did in chapter 17 in verse 1. He said, you know what? This is crazy. Somebody's got to do something. And so, boy, he got all kinds of great enthusiasm and faith mustered up in his soul, and he got out there and began to speak to King Ahab. And that's what verse 1, we pick it up. He said, before I stand for the God of Israel, of who lives, and before I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except by my word. You got that, devil? Hey, yeah. And as soon as he said that, he like, oh my gosh, did I just say that? I mean, reality of the little difference set in. You know, because we're so used to living under domination of self-centeredness, or past failures, or the memories of our pain of a child growing up, or the rejection of others, when you do speak out against it, it's almost intimidating. You begin to think of reality and go, you know what? Nothing's ever going to change. I was abused, I've been abused, and I'll probably be abused the rest of my life. And then the evidence begins to come forth. You know, sort of like, well, you know that marriage failed, and you know that marriage failed, and you messed this up, and you closed that business down, and you caused this problem and strife in the family. What makes you think anything is ever going to be different? And so then what would you? We kind of cower back into where we've always lived. We go back into here and we kind of dissolve. But sometimes if you can't find anybody to encourage you, if you can't get somebody to get up in your face and say, you know what? You're extraordinary. You're above average. Then you might as well just go into the bathroom and talk to yourself. Look at this scripture. This is incredible in Proverbs 25 and verse 11. Because this is what the word of the Lord tells us. He says that, you know, a fitly spoken word is like apples of gold and settings of silver. When I can't find anybody to encourage me, when I can't find a circumstance that's going to move me from here to there, when I'm feeling just average, when I feel ordinary, I just have to stir myself up. I go into the bathroom and say, I'll be right back. And off I go. It's sort of like my phone booth for Clark Kent. It's my phone booth. I get in there and I look in the mirror and I go, hey, you are one handsome dude. I can't get nobody else to tell me, so I'm going to tell myself. I get in there and say, you know what? You're about to do extraordinary things. You are an awesome person. Did you know that God has a plan for you that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard? You better get ready, Cayton. God's about to bring you over. Before you know it, I'm starting to get encouraged. Before you know it, I'm going like, yeah. So I come out of the bathroom and I got all my swagger on. You know, I'm like walking out of there going, hey, you know what? A fitly spoken word is like apples of gold and things spoken of silver. You know, sometimes you just got to talk to yourself. And if you can't get anybody to encourage you, you just grab your own boots and you pull them up yourself. You just have to do what you've got to do, but don't stay where you've been. Let me let you in on a secret. Nobody likes you there. You're hard to get along with there. You're just, you know, cantankerous there. You're not fun to be around. Did you ever notice? Nobody wants to be around you. They always feel like, well, I got to go. Well, you just got here. I know. I want you to know I'm fun to be around. And you're fun to be around. And people are attracted to you because you've recognized there's more in your life than what you've experienced. And that's what the prophet finally said. And the only way you could ever get to that place is to speak to what is dominating you, what is controlling you. And a lot of times it's circumstances and people who have the wrong agenda for your life. But God has a plan. And God has an agenda. And God has a destiny. And soon as the prophet spoke, God began to speak. The word of the Lord in verse 2 came to the prophet Elisha in 1 Kings 17 and 2. And he began to declare to Elisha. And then in verse 3 he says, I want you to go to a brook, Cherith. I've prepared it there for you. And I want you to go there and I've talked to a raven. And a raven's going to bring you food in the morning and in the evening. I've got a place for you that's called there that you're going to love. It's so much fun. But you know, until you make that decision to leave where you've been, you'll never know that. And that's what Christianity is all about. It is rescue. It is redemption. It is renewal. It is restoration. It's not about going to church. It's not about hearing another sermon. It's not about singing in a choir. It's not about being religious. It's about getting out of here and getting over to there where the blessings of God will flow in your life and you can make a difference. See, there is important. Because there just might be a little 8-year-old boy in your there that's going to die. And if you're not there, and if you stay here, he stays dead. And you're supposed to be there. Follow me now. Because Elisha, when he got there, the Lord used the speaking to the dominating spirit controlling that nation to get him to the place where God wanted him to be in Zarephath. And what happened? A woman's boy died and he laid himself on that child and breathed life into it. Let me tell you something. God's going to use you in a spectacular way. I just want you to hold your hands up and look at them. They may look like ordinary hands. They may look like they're hands that have you been looking at all your life. They may even have a little Arthur in them. They may even have a little bit of a swelling in them. But let me tell you something. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Come on, lift up those hands. Come on, lift up those hands. You see, God has something in your there that until you get there, you're not going to be used if you stay here. Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm out of here, man. I'm out of here. I'm out of here because here isn't cutting it. Can I get an amen in here? Amen. Can I get a hallelujah in here? Can I get a praise you Jesus in here? The Bible says as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, I think there's a little bit more necessary. We need to start getting a little more confident in who we are. You know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. People, you know, they'll come to you and they'll say, who do you think you are? I just think I'm a child of God walking in covenant of God. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm blessed everywhere I go. Sorry. Well, you know, that's just fanaticism and that's hyper faith. Sorry. Stay here if you want, but I'm going over there. I've determined I'm not living my life no longer by the flesh. I'm not living my life any longer under the dictates of religion. I'm out of here, baby. I'm going there in the land of faith. I'm tired of living in the land of not enough. Or the land of just enough. Come on, throw your hands up in the air. Say it with me. It's the land of more than enough. Woo! Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. Woo! That's where I'm going. The land of more than enough. Excuse me while I praise him just a moment. I have fits of praise. I've been known to do that once in a while. You can't allow circumstances to create an opinion about yourself. Amen. I remember people telling me that my IQ was too low, that I'd never amount to much. I said, what's an IQ? I remember counselors in school telling me I was an average student not to plan for college. Yeah, I did. I had people tell me that, you know, I was an illegitimate child and the devil's son. I should never have been born. I have a lot of opinions that have been spoken over my life. I've had people tell me that, you know, that I'm not anointed and that, you know, that I'm not, yeah, you know, they're just religious. That I'd not to be in ministry and, you know, ask me, who do you think you are? And at that time, I thought, well, my name's just Gideon and I'm just down here in this wine press trying to do something for Jesus. And there's so many of us as Christians in a wine press this morning. God has a call. You have a burden for the word of God. And you're working out the wheat. But you're doing it in hiding. And it's because you still think you're the least of all. You still think that you don't qualify because you're just average or below average, or you're ordinary, or maybe not even at zero yet. And so God in Judges chapter 6 had to come and visit Gideon. And God had to speak to that which was controlling him. You better hear me this morning. If you don't speak to what's controlling, it'll continue to dominate. Understand something, church. You've got to talk to it. And you've got to use the word of the Lord. And that's what Elisha did. And that's what God had to do for Gideon. That's what God will do for you. He will come in the middle of your struggle. And he will call you a mighty warrior, even hiding out in a wine press. Gideon heard that. He said, me? You've got to be kidding. But that one word set him free. And what did he do? He went right to that controlling, dominating force. It was in his father's own backyard. There's a message there. I don't have time to preach. But he tore down that altar, that Asherah pole, that altar to Baal. And in the middle of the night under the cover, because he still wasn't sure. God, is this what you want me to do? And some of us have hesitated. Some of us don't have a lot of confidence. We don't have a lot of people saying, that a boy. We don't have a lot of people going, you know, I believe in you. We don't have a lot of people in our life that have ever said, I think you're awesome. I think you're above average. I think you're college material. I think you're going to be a great pastor. It seems like we plow through life looking for somebody to believe in us. That was Gideon's plight. He couldn't find anybody, so God showed up himself and spoke to him in the moment of his own insecurity and said, you're about to have a changed life, son. Gideon came up out of that wine press going, yeah, he got his swagger on. He came out of the bathroom going, yeah, baby, I am somebody. Listen, you got to talk to yourself sometime, right? So there he went and tore down his father's altar. And the next day they're looking around. All right, who did this? Who tore this thing down? We going to bust him up. What happened? They found out it was Gideon. Gideon said, what you going to do? What you gonna do with this? Don't you know that God talked to me last night? You can't do nothing. You hear me? Matter of fact, you need me in your life. I don't know if he talked like that, but he did rise up to become the leader of Israel and was able to destroy the power of Midian that was controlling the people, that was ultimately controlling him. You've got to break out of your insecurity and your ordinary life. You've got to come out of that sub-zero standard. You've got to come out of that mentality that says you can't. Why? Because there's a whole lot of us that need you to succeed. Because in our there, if you're missing, if you don't come, if you're not present, something's gonna die. There's a powerful word in Jeremiah 33 and 3. You know that's God's phone number, don't you? You don't know God's phone number? All right, 333. Anybody can remember that, right? Jeremiah 33:3. What does it say? Let's read it together. Ready? Ready. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you did not know. Can we read it one more time? Come on, read it again. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you did not know. Do you get that? Do you get the correlation? Things that you don't know are out there waiting to be revealed if you'll just call me. If you'll just call me. God just wants you to call him. And if you'll call him, he will show you great and mighty things which you did not know. That's why when we call those things that are not as though they were, we start seeing stuff we never believed that we'd ever see. We start hearing stuff we never thought we would ever hear. In Acts chapter 26, Paul was sleeping one night, got a vision. Some call it the Macedonia call, but it was a voice. In this vision, the Bible says it was simple. Come on over and help us. It was a man in Macedonia. Paul, by the Spirit, was being directed to get there because there was somebody in that place who needed him. He had to leave where he was. He had to step out in faith. He had to be Spirit-led. Can you put the scripture up in Acts chapter 28? And he said, come over and help us. Do you know there's a voice crying out in this generation saying, come on over and help us? Come on over and help us. And we can say, well, we need another government program. Let me tell you something. They're not helping anybody but themselves. God's waiting on the church to rise up. God's waiting on the church to take their place, to be extraordinary, to be out of the normal, to make a difference with just a bit of difference in our own life, to not be satisfied with the way things have been, but to believe that we can go beyond where we've ever been. Is that the scripture? It's Acts 28. I'm sorry, 16, is it? I don't know. I'm just trying to preach. I have no idea. Acts 16, verse 9 and 10. Acts 16, verses 9 and 10. I'm so sorry. All right, here we go. Acts 16, 9 and 10. Just come on over and help us. So there's this voice that's crying out and asking him to come and help. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if you think you've been ordinary or if you've been just average or below average or you don't think that you would ever can be used by God. Maybe you're hiding out in a wine press. Maybe you're just trying to make ends meet. Maybe you believe that you're never going to go from where you are now. But let me tell you something. There's a visitation from God this morning and he's speaking to hearts. He's speaking to people. He's speaking to lives. Don't you be defined by your past. Don't you be defined by ordinary. Don't you be defined by the opinions of others. God has an extraordinary opinion about your life. And so what happened? Paul and Silas decided, let's go. And when they went, they encountered a little slave girl. Now it's interesting the Bible calls her a slave girl. And it's interesting that Paul and Silas encountered this particular spirit. Here it is in verse 16. It happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us who brought her masters much profit. Let me break it down for you. The systems of this world have been organized to get profit off our kids. They control this little girl. And they got lots of income as a result of her enslavement to them. Do you know how many children are in this country? Do you know how many children within 3 miles radius of this building who are crying out saying, somebody come help me? It was our first night in our marriage and singles conference. We're talking about John 5, the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus coming to the man who for 38 years was lame at the pool. Every time it stirred, he tried to get there, but couldn't get nobody to help him. And everybody else got healed. Jesus finally came to him and said, would you like to be made well? We ask a simple question as we dialogued about that particular scripture. If Jesus came to you tonight, what would he be asking about in your life? Suddenly a woman, 54, 57, I forget her age. Teresa, it was your friend. She's from Norfolk, Virginia, and she joined us in a group, 20 of us sitting in a circle. And she began to disclose that as a baby girl, how her uncle sexually abused her for years, how it impacted her life, how it contained her, how it bruised her, how it hurt her, and how now God has healed her. There wasn't hardly a dry eye in that group. Because she was able to release something that had been using her, exploiting her, that was using her for their own advantage. Did you know that's the kind of spirit this world is? Whether it's marketed through the carnal appetites or whether it's packaged with marketing schemes from New York, Madison Avenue, it doesn't matter. It's all programmed and packaged to exploit and control and to extract from lives. Come over and help us. Come over and help us. And that little girl kept walking behind Paul and Silas. There was something attracted. Something attracted her to them. And it says that, the next verse please, 17. It says that when she finally cried out, "These men are the servants of the Most High who proclaim to us the way of salvation," the Bible says Paul got annoyed. "I'm annoyed with that." Now, why would Paul be annoyed with her proclaiming truth? Because she was trying to tell truth, but she was still bound. She was trying to find a place of liberty, but she was still possessed. She was finding and struggling to try to get out from the bondage she was in. And Paul finally had to do what Elisha did. Paul had to do what God did to Gideon. Paul spoke to the spirit that was controlling her. And when he did, she was set free. You know how many little kids roam our streets in America that are looking for somebody to say, "You're beautiful and not ugly. You're precious and not trash. You are cherished and not somebody that is a toy. You are something that I can believe in. God has a plan for you." You heard Joshua's testimony. His story is a book in itself. If you'd ever hear the complete narration of what he has gone through as a young boy. The pain, the rejection, the hurt, the suffering, the involvement, the streets, living for himself, living by himself, wanting a family, never having it, wanting to have his mother back in his life, but she was bound herself. A grandmother that didn't know what to do, and then a second grade teacher shows up. And a blonde haired woman that shouldn't be where she was that day. Says, "I'll find him." Had no idea where he lived and pulled up and there he was playing. Do you hear the voice? It says, "Can you come over and help me?" He said, "Well, I don't know what to do, Pastor. I don't have the first clue. I don't know what I can do to help anybody." And people that are in that kind of need, don't they need psychiatrists? And don't they need the deliverance team? And don't they, that's beyond my ability. Just get in your car. And get over there. And let God put the connection together. How many know that God is able? If we'll just leave here and get over there. Listen to that voice. Let it call us. Paul spoke to it. But as soon as he did, they lost their prophet. Wouldn't it be something if MTV lost its ratings? Wouldn't it be something if their new Skins program nobody watched? I'm 16 and I'm pregnant. Nobody cared. What happens in a generation if these young kids are rescued and they're brought out of the manipulation of a generation that has convinced them that this is their life? What happens if somebody will speak to a spirit of a young girl who cries herself to sleep? Who a young girl at 8 years old who was baptized last Sunday at 28 with three own children of her own, stood on a platform 20 years earlier, smiling as big as she can because she wants somebody to pick her, somebody to love her, somebody to sponsor her, and again rejected. Hopes dashed. Expectation lost. Paul and Silas spoke to that controlling, dominating spirit, and it broke off of her. And immediately they got angry. They got angry with their source of manipulation and control. Let me tell you something about children. Let me tell you something about government subsidies and housing. I believe 100% in helping the poor, but I do not believe in keeping them poor. No, I don't believe in that. Don't create your system where you throw God's people a bone to keep them where they've been. Somebody has got to get out of your here to get over there and hear the voice that says, can you help me? Can somebody come over here and help me? And as soon as Paul and Silas delivered them, the Bible says they got arrested. They just didn't get arrested. They got stripped. The Bible says they got beaten and they were thrown in an inner cell of containment. This is this generation, you see, stripped of their true identity. They think that's who they are, but you're more than that. You're more than that. You're not that. You are more than that. You're a child of God. You're a queen. You're a princess. You have a destiny. You have a future. You have something that God from the foundation of the earth has invested into your life. Don't settle for less. Yeah, but you don't know. Yeah, but you don't know. Yeah, but you don't know. I understand you may feel like you're in a wine press. I understand you may feel like you're just an Elisha running for your life. I understand you may feel like you're a Paul and Silas. You tried to do good and you got burnt. It's interesting. The Roman soldiers, you know, they were technicians at beating people. The instrument they used was kind of a rubber mallet. The beating that Paul and Silas took wasn't just a couple of times across the back or maybe across their hands or perhaps on their buttocks a few times and said, now don't do that anymore. It was a beating that was designed to create internal bruising. There were welts all over their body. Their lips were split. Their eyelids were beaten shut. Their hands were lacerated. Their feet swollen, bleeding underneath the skin. It was designed specifically to create that kinds of agony and pain. And then thrown into an inner cell. Not just a cell, but an inner cell. And not just an inner cell, but shackled to the wall in the inner cell. And this is a generation that is looking for deliverance. Been stripped of their raiment, been stripped of their identity, don't know who they really are, have been beaten. And that's why Isaiah 53 says he was bruised for our iniquities. And iniquities aren't just sins. Iniquities, ladies and gentlemen, are those issues, those pains that are beneath the surface. It's the abuse sexually as a child, when the person who should have been protecting me was using me. The person that should have been giving me justice was serving me injustice. The person that I thought loved me because she birthed me abandoned me. It's called bruising. And Paul and Silas sat in that prison, bruised on the inside, like some of us in church this morning. Lost our identity, bruised on the inside, and contained of any future. You think there's no way out. You think you'll never break the power of that drug addiction. You think that perhaps your life will never amount to anything. But something got into Paul that day. He remembered when he spoke to the spirit over the slave girl. He remembered the story of how God spoke to Gideon in a peculiar place. He remembered when Elisha talked to the spirit behind Ahab. With broken and cracked lips and teeth, eyes swollen shut, face as big as a balloon, hands broken, fingers broken, lacerations all over their body. Stocks and chains, back opened up, skin peeled back, hanging like ribbons from their waist, feet broken, sat there in the prison and sang about midnight. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. It wasn't a solo, you know. It wasn't anything you'd record. And it wasn't anything anybody thought was really that good. It's sort of hard to sing spitting out your teeth and swallowing your blood. Praise Father, praise. How's it go? Thank God from whom all things blow. Praise God from all creatures here below. Praise all of ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he said, Silas, can we sing it one more time? And Silas said, I don't know, Paul. Tears mixed with blood dripping down on already a blood-soaked cloak. I don't know, but let's try. And they were speaking to something that had dominated them and was trying to kill them. It was on the second verse, same as the first. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, all the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Do you feel that? Silas, oh my God, what is that? I don't know. Something's happening. I can't tell. Something's breaking. Woo, I don't know. What is it? The Bible said there was an earthquake and there was jailhouse rock. Suddenly the chains fell off, shackles fell off. And I don't know about you, but I've just got to believe in the Bible. Them swollen lips and cracked teeth started to get whole again. His hair was matted down and suddenly he was whole again. His raiment was all new and his vigor and strength came back. And he got up to praise the Lord. Because he learned to talk in praises to God. Because he knew the devil could not contain what God would release through his praise. And Paul and Silas got up. They're saying, well, we're out of here. We're out of here. And the jailer said, wait. Don't you leave us in here. Don't you leave me here. Because I know that if I'm here in the morning and you're there, my master's going to kill me here. So I don't know, but what must I do and to get what you just done and what you got? I need to know how to get saved just like you got saved. That's what the jailer asked. What do I need to do? Break these chains. Get me out of this place. Paul looked back at him and said, hey. Believe, I don't know, I just make this up. But it's kind of how I read the Bible. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. You know, when I say that, I hear the choir. Thou shalt be saved. You feel it. What's going to happen? Thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt. Thou shalt be saved. I mean, the whole place is filled with the praises of God. Come on. I mean, the whole place. And the jailer said, yeah, I want to be saved. And I don't know if that's the way it went, but I know that's the way it's going to go. That's the way it's going to go for you and me and everybody else who's bound, bruised, beaten, stripped. This is our opportunity to make a huge difference in the lives of God's people. The Bible says simply, and I got to close with this. John 8:36. He whom the Son. Now that's another song. He whom the Son sets free. He whom the Son sets free is what?
Free.
Did you know that's two frees? He whom the Son sets
free
is what?
Free.
Two frees. So I can't assume that the first free is the same as the second free. If I assume the first free is the same as the second free, I may not understand the depth of my freedom. So I had to look. So I peeked in and I said, Lord, what's the first free? He said, the first free is to liberate. So he whom the Son sets, okay, he whom the Son liberates is free indeed. I said, God, what's the second free? If the first free is liberates, what's the second free? And he said, free from former ownership. He whom the Son sets free, he whom the Son liberates, is free from former ownership. When God comes to visit you, no matter where you are, no matter what your circumstance, he not only is going to liberate you, but he's going to set you free from every former enslavement in your life. I've got to tell you, I am not illegitimate anymore. I've got to tell you, I am college material. As a matter of fact, I've got my college degree and two doctorates to go with it. So there you go, devil. Huh? Come on. Got me a wife, got me some kids, got me some grandkids. Woo! I'm a blessed man. I'm a happy man. I am released. I've got destiny. I've got purpose. I've got friends. I've got a future. And this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Come on, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. I said, this joy. No. This joy. Come on, help me out. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world. Come on, the world can't take it away. The world can't take it away. The world can't take it away. I ain't nobody's boy. I ain't nobody's gopher. No. You can't have me. I can't be bought. I'm free. Come on, lift your hands up and thank God that you are free. Now, Father, I thank you that he whom the Son liberates is free from all ownership. Break the chain. Get us up out of the wine press. Let us speak to the kings. Let us hear the voice that simply asks, come over. Coming right now. We've given our life to wine presses and Ahabs and jail cells and beatings and bruisings, because there's hope and we can offer that to a generation. Amen. Help us, Pastor Troy.
3 years ago, a call went out from the other side of time. You see, nobody knew where this woman was. 3 years ago, the God who lives outside of time decided that he knew where she needed to be. And so he moved and manipulates things, doesn't he? We're all here today because he did that. And so he calls the woman, a prayer, praying woman, to be in a certain place when Christine's father would be there. And Christine was in an abusive marriage, needed Jesus, needed to get there. And so, little Annette Porter, some of you may know her, she's a praying woman. She just found herself in a place where this man was. He happened to be a police officer himself, I believe, and she prays for the police officers. And so he said, I want you to pray for my daughter. She needs prayer. And so Annette, 3 years ago, took the card from her father, went home, and began to call out from there to the other side. A few weeks back, a while back, they gathered together in a gym. Christine was invited from a friend that lived next door to a meeting they had. Now we just went 3 years forward in time. They pray, the end of the prayer, Christine gives her life to Jesus. Immediately, for some reason, Sue Jordan decides she needs to call Annette Porter and tell her what just happened. She says, you'll never believe what just happened, Annette. This woman by the name of Christine just gave her life to Jesus. She said, tell me her last name. She went back to her Bible and she pulled out her card out of her Bible 3 years ago that her father gave her. She said, tell me her name again. Her name is Christine so-and-so. Annette just began to worship the Lord. 3 years ago, the God who stands outside of time, in an attempt to get this woman from here to there, survived two near-death experiences in between there because a woman named Annette prayed her into there. This morning, she stood on the third step and she told everybody that was there that she was done being over there. She was now coming over there. She told everybody that she's not turning back no more with that. She's going there. And you have to believe that that slave girl in Acts 16, that once she was set free, she said, okay, now I've got to set the other captives free. I've got to go back and I've got to rescue them from there and get them over here. And so the plea today to you is who live in the land called there. Don't you live there? You're free indeed, church. The plea to you today is if you'll take out that envelope you got when you walk through the doors. Everybody should have gotten one. It's a Joshua Kids envelope. Take it out now, could you? Come on, you're looking at me. Don't look at me. Look at you. Did everybody? You didn't get them. How many got them? Raise them up. They're in the Coastal View. They're right there in the Coastal View. If you got a bulletin, it's in the Coastal View. Here we go. That's what it looks like. And I'm going to tell you what these Joshua kids need. What they need is for somebody that lives in the place called there to lay on top of them and to breathe life into them, to breathe the breath of the living God into them. And I'm going to tell you this, with every penny you sow into this ministry today, I'm going to tell you that you're going to reap dividends from it. There's a young girl here this morning by the name of Tana. Most of you know her. 23 years ago, she was born. Today's her birthday. But over the course of time, she went through this ministry. And many of us that sit here today, a lot of people over there on that row, have invested into her life. And today we see we are reaping the benefits of our investment. She serves Jesus with her whole heart. She's making a difference. There are some that have gone through this ministry some 20 years ago that are like a year away from becoming doctors. There are others who are already professionals working, nurses. And so we ask you today that every person would take this out and contribute to this ministry. This ministry will change the face of poverty. It'll change the face of it. It'll destroy the devil. And what they need is, like Paul, somebody to stare the spirit in the face and say, come out in Jesus' name. I won't allow you to stay on this little girl anymore. I won't allow you to destroy this young boy's life anymore. And go find him and pull him out. But it doesn't happen. It won't happen unless we act. Unless we hear the call today that's from the Spirit and we act today. So if you can, fill it out right now. We're going to receive an offering. Then we'll have altar ministry. But right there where you are, something, just give something. $10, you can contribute $10, $20, $30, you can sponsor a child for a month. We send every Joshua kid to camp. It's a life-changing experience where they go and they don't hear about Jesus. They touch the hem of Jesus while they're there. They touch the glory of God while they are there. Nobody's turned away. We make sure that every Joshua kid goes to camp. We need your help if you would like to be a part of Joshua Kids. Every third Saturday we meet and we minister to these Joshua kids. We used to do it every week, but if we would all begin to volunteer again, The fourth Saturday here, the third Saturday in Lorain. But if we would all contribute to this ministry, we could once again pick it up weekly and begin to bus in kids from the inner city and begin to make a difference in their life. Are you down with that, church? Let's do that right now. So if you could fill that out, the ushers are going to come now and they're going to receive that. Amen. Okay. Come on, guys, come forward. Let's receive that. Anything you can give to this ministry, this is a sacrificial seed that will definitely go and it will produce. Amen. Let's go ahead and pass that through. Just some announcements before we move into the altar ministry. Word and Deed Ministry welcomes you to room 1 at 2 p.m. to enjoy a little food, fellowship, and inspirational music. Mission Africa fundraiser, Catherine Sears. How many of you know Catherine Sears? Is she here today? Catherine Sears, where are you? Catherine Sears. Oh, she's out. She's out. So, but you, if you'd like to be a part of that, we'll take a free will offering for her in that meeting. And Saturday, when is this study? When are we doing that? Oh, okay. Pastor Tina's Dressed to Kill Bible study will be here this Saturday at what time? 11 o'clock, and then immediately following, they're going to go canvas for Joshua kids. That's some of the groundwork that has to be done. If you could be a part of that, we'll meet here this Saturday, and then immediately following Pastor Tina's Bible study, Dressed to Kill, we'll go out and canvas. That's some of the stuff that has to be done before we can begin to bust these kids in. So if you could all come and be a part of that, it would be wonderful. Are we done? Have we received the offering? Come on, after you're done, why don't you stand to your feet and let's worship the Lord. Amen.
Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, I'm not going back. I'm moving.
Altar ministers, if you'll make your way forward now. Altar ministers, if you can come forward now. On your way out today, if you decided to sponsor a child, you can pick up a picture and a little bit of information on your child at the table out in the foyer on your way out. Let's worship the Lord, church. Let's bless His name. He is the God that makes all things new. To grab the hand of your neighbor as we close in prayer. Close your eyes and let's ask the Lord to be with us in the next few minutes here. Father, we thank you for this time today and for the hand that we hold today, Lord. We pray, God, that the spirit of freedom would reign, that they would never That the hand that we're holding now would never be held bondage or captive by the systems of this world. We thank you, Jesus, that you have made us free, and we are free indeed. That we are children of the Most High God. That we walk in the newness of life, the freshness of life. That we possess the healing virtue of Jesus Christ. That as we leave this place, we go out into the land and we declare the kingdom has come near you. Pray, God, all authority and all power has been given unto us. And so we commit today to leave this place and go throughout the regions and declare the wonder of God.